Hey everyone, I'm Emmanuel.
I'm Carly.
And I'm Jamidra.
And we're the hosts of
The Cooler.
Is that a knife behind your back? I'm going to tell you how to spot the frenemies in your life.
And we're going to be asking ourselves whether they're robbing the rich to feed the poor or just robbing the rich. Why are we so fascinated with scammers?
And I have three words for you. Gender reveal lasagna.
I think I just lost my appetite.
So did I.
We've all heard the word frenemy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Familiar.
Webster Dictionary recognizes this word. The official definition is, quote, one who pretends to be a friend but is actually your enemy. It was first used in 1953.
So it's been what?
It's been around for a long time. And we have a gentleman by the name of Walter Winchell, who wrote for the Nevada State Journal back in 1953. He wrote a piece called How's About Calling the Russians Our Frenemies.
Evergreen content.
Evergreen content.
Still going on.
Topical and relevant.
You know what? If I was thinking, I would have brought a snippet of that article and just read a little bit of it to see if we can connect the dots from then to now.
Yeah, da, comrade.
How much is 10-year challenge? But this is the, I'm not going to do that math, but it's a challenge. Your life is free of frenemies, right? Carly, Emmanuel, cooler listener.
I've made a very conscious decision that is a portion of my life, specifically the late teens, early 20s, that I have no desire to revisit.
So
I think
it's
unbecoming for an older woman.
Is it in the rear view? Oh, did you just say call yourself an older woman? We are not. I'm like offended for you
thought.
And for myself.
I too feel like I've eradicated all the frenemies out of my life because at this point, who has the time to hang out with anyone where there's any weirdness?
Who has the time to be beefing?
Who has the time to even have regular friends that you like?
Exactly. I would love to see my actual friends.
Yeah, so frenemies, sorry. If you make me feel weird or if you seem threatened whenever something good happens to me, bye.
And I started thinking about this recently because there's one famous frenemy situation that I just really realized recently and identified as a frenemy situation. All these years has been going on and I didn't realize what was truly happening.
Mm-hmm. Lay it out for us.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian at it again. Mm-hmm. But no, sir. I'm talking about her husband, Kanye West and Jay-Z.
Oh, yes.
May I say, I am so glad that you are leading with male frenemies because so often we apply it only to women.
Okay, no. This frenemy situation has been going on for years. And it bubbled up recently because I don't know if you guys heard that Kanye is suing Def Jam. He's like, I want my masters. And also, in the legal documents, I made Jay-Z's career. Thank you and good night.
Oh.
Just slip that in.
Also, on top of that, you know, he contributed to The Blueprint, which is like a milestone album in hip hop. It was like one of Jay-Z's best. So he's like, I revived his career. I made Jay-Z. Thank you. Good night.
When you say contributed, I mean, what kind of contribution are we talking here? I mean, I'm sure he gets into that in The Legal Documents.
The Legal Documents, which I did not read. and I don't plan on reading.
You're like, I am not paid to read
not
these.
Not paid enough, honey. If you want them, I'm sure you can go to TMZ. I'm sure somebody, the court record, somebody has them. You can gloss over. Kanye is a brilliant producer. We can't take that away from him.
Brilliant.
He's a great producer.
Fine. He's fine.
We cannot take that away from him. But it's like, Jay-Z, you made Jay-Z. I feel like you guys are on equal footing.
That is a bold claim.
But then you think about, where did all this come from? They're friends. Like, they can go sort it out. They can go have a conversation. But then you look back on the history, right? And there have been hints along the way that there was a little bit of trouble in their bromance, if you will.
A bit of tension.
I get that. This is my French.
Is like the French for tension, tension? I don't know. I just love the way it sounds. Hit me up, France. Don't exclude me.
And so if you think back, back in 2003, can you hear the harp playing? So this is the part where the smoke comes up and we travel back in time. Say you're friends with Jay-Z. He's decided he's going to retire. He invites you to a show at Madison Square Garden. And you're like, cool. You tell everybody, I'm going to the show. Jay-Z's invited me. I'm his personal guest. And then, whoop, they're like, you get to the door, they're like, where's your ticket?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Embarrassing, yes. And it's not a secret. Kanye actually addressed this on his album Graduation. He had a song called Big Brother, which he dedicated to Jay-Z, who he like looks up to and idolized at that time. He talks a little bit about it.
Big Brother got a show up in Madison Square. And I'm like, yeah, we gonna be there. But not only did I not get a chance to spit it, Carlene told me I could buy two tickets.
Burn.
Buy two tickets. He brought a plus one. He thought he was on the guest list plus one.
No. Jay-Z claims it was a miscommunication, but I'm just saying that.
He's like, did you not get that Eventbrite link?
Yeah,
I sent you
that. But that's not it. On the same song, Kanye continues to spill the tea, and he talks about the fact that when he decided that he was going to do a collaboration with Coldplay, then he felt like Jay-Z also turned around and did a collaboration with Coldplay, a little bit of one-up.
I told Jay I did a song with Coldplay. Next thing I know, he got a song with Coldplay. Back in my mind, I'm like, no way, translate Espanol, no way, Jose.
No way, Jose.
Although, stunning rhyme of Coldplay with Coldplay.
Yes.
And then, no way. People are not normally clamoring to say that they were the first to collaborate with Coldplay.
But I'm just like, if there's a hill to die on,
we're like, Mars is not it. He's not it.
You can have Chris Martin and Gwyneth. Take them.
Well, they did for years. Jay-Z and Beyonce paraded around with them. But I mean, this is reminiscent of like that friend when you're like, oh, guess what? I'm doing this. And they're like, oh, well, actually, I'm doing this too. So I won't go through the laundry list of things that these two men have gone back and forth about. We all know the VMA situation when Kanye jumped on stage, caping for Beyonce, Jay-Z's wife. He felt thrown under the bus because he felt like Beyonce and Jay-Z didn't stand up for him when myself included, all turned on him.
And including the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, he's a jackass.
Yeah. And that, and some people think that that's the reason why Kanye is cozying up to Trump, because he's like, I want a president, too. My frenemy can't be the only one amongst us who has a president.
Yikes. I want a president who doesn't call me out on my bad behavior and does worse behavior.
Yeah, pretty much.
Allegedly.
Then, you know, Kanye was mad he didn't come to the wedding, blah, blah, blah.
The wedding thing.
The wedding
is really bad because they etched their names in marble and then they didn't show up. So it's not like a place card you can just take away.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
It says Beyonce and Jay-Z.
And
it's
not even like, guys, we paid for the $25 per person for the chicken and white wine sauce with mushrooms.
Oh, no.
We put your names in marble?
In this marble.
Kanye seems very high maintenance as a friend.
Yeah, he does.
Just saying. I think Kanye needs to go to the library and borrow a certain book. It's called He's Just Not That Into You. He could learn some lessons.
Men are from Mars. Jay-Z is from Venus.
So we know how he got out of the situation. It seems like Jay-Z just slowly backed away. Or at least I would guess that his wife, Beyonce, was like, actually, this is what we're not going to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how have you guys backed out of a frenemy situation before? Have you ever had one?
Ooh.
Yes. I'm not going to talk about specifics because they might listen to the show.
Specifics, specifics, specifics.
Just generally, I feel like this person was in competition with me over another friend we shared.
Ooh. Oh, I've been
always
there.
Always trying to take our other friend away from events that were celebrating something I was doing. Like, she would have a crisis around the time that I was giving a reading at a bookstore.
No coincidence.
Hmm, 1 hour before. I guess now she knows who she is.
Wow.
I'm not hanging out with her. She makes me feel bad.
Okay, so they say one of the ways that you can spot a frenemy, sabotage.
Oh.
And when I say they, I mean me and the people on the internet. We decided this together.
Oh, so what, they're genuinely, you can see them trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. They try to do slight things to sort of like sabotage you. And another thing they do is like try to undermine your confidence every now and then. So if you have a friend and you're telling them about something exciting that you're going to do, they'll be like, oh, girl, you're going back to school? Woo, you?
Wait, that sounds like a story.
I won't point no names out. But sometimes people disguise insults as compliments.
That happened to me last month.
Oh, that's gross. And then you're left wondering. You're like, what is it exactly they mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about you, Carly? Because I feel like, are British people too polite to be frenemies? Or have you guys perfected that?
For sure. We're passive aggressive until we die. You know that. We swallow it down. I was genuinely thinking about whether I've had a full-on frenemy. And I can't think of recent examples. And that's because I have been so obsessive about trying to see other women doing well as a really good thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think that women are, girls are brought up being told this like expedient lie, which is like, there's only so much success to go around. Mm-hmm. And if another woman's having success, she is taking it from you.
Yep.
And these are the stories and the lies that you are told and you internalize. And I've really tried to do a lot of hard work to undo that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that at some point in my life, probably my teens, early 20s, I definitely saw women as competition. And I think that at the heart of every frenemy, it's competition. They have something you want, or you have something they want, and that's how it starts. It's about success and who gets to have it. So it's like the equation of competition plus affection equals frenemy?
Yeah.
Divided by differing circumstances.
And sometimes not affection, sometimes just proximity to whatever you have going on, and they want to be close to it so they can, you know, usurp you or whatever.
Oh, and the sabotage, I like that. Look for the people that are trying to throw their shoes into your machinery because they are your frenemies.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? They wouldn't be coming after you unless you were successful.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of success, can we think of any celebrities who have been frenemies? I know there are some.
Well, when you said you wanted to discuss frenemies today, I told you I'm not going to come along and not talk about Gwyneth and Winona.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone in the world knows about this, but for those who don't, Gwyneth Paltrow, Winona Ryder used to be super close. I believe they actually lived together at one point. They dated Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, who are best friends.
Oh, wow.
And then it all went, in the parlance of our times, tits up.
Whoa. When,
according to popular legend, and I have told this story before on The Cooler, but Gwyneth Paltrow goes to Winona Ryder's house, sees the script for Shakespeare in Love, is like, ooh, I want to be in Shakespeare in Love,
oh,
steals
yes.
the script, and thus the role, and thus the Oscar. And
ouch.
For which Winona Ryder has never forgiven her. And so I did some digging into like how true this was. And I discovered that Gwyneth Paltrow is petty. And she has her own burn book in the form of her Goop newsletter.
Okay, break it down.
Which she has used to shade not one, but two of her frenemies. First of all, Winona Ryder. Back in the day, in the Goop newsletter, she said this.
Back in the day, I had a frenemy who was pretty hell-bent on taking me down. I restrained myself from fighting back. I tried to take the high road. But one day, I heard that something unfortunate and humiliating had happened to this person, and my reaction was deep relief and happiness.
Oh! The
my
shade.
God.
Okay, so was that all of it? Did she have like a come to Jesus at the end and was like, I
no.
should have
done... Oh, she's just like, yeah, Winona Ryder got busted for shoplifting Marc Jacobs, and I was happy about it.
Deep relief and happiness. Who looks worse in that situation?
Right?
Kicking someone when they're down. Gwyneth comes across as the wrong one.
And then she did it again. She was beefing with Madonna, her erstwhile best friend, because they were both Americans living in London. They were both dating or married to Brits.
Wait a minute. Gwyneth Paltrow is American?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, her and Madonna have that, those fake accents.
Mm.
But apparently they got into like trouble over Tracy Anderson, this trainer they shared, when Tracy Anderson gets into hot water. Madonna fires her. Gwyneth Paltrow won't do the same. They fall out. And then Gwyneth writes in the Goop newsletter.
Again with the Goop?
About an insufferable friend who left her feeling drained, empty, and belittled.
Whoa. She's telling on herself. She comes across as the bad person here. I'm sorry.
She's not coming out well.
This is Gwyneth's version of her album. If she was Kanye, she would make an album of
diss tracks.
Yeah, this is her diss track. Exactly.
Exactly. We can't possibly talk about frenemies without talking about Paris Hilton.
Oh.
Okay.
Which combination?
Which
are you...
one? Okay, all of them. Which, let's go okay. through.
You know that's not a good thing about your life when you're like, which feud with that person?
So let's just quickly go through her frenemies. So Paris's star, Rose, with The Simple Life, which mm-hmm. she did with her then best friend, Nicole Richie. But soon things went sour. And the reason why, we still don't know. But at the time, Paris said the following. Nicole knows what she did. And that's all I'm ever going to say about it.
That was during the hot phase.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Stop being poor. She literally wore a shirt that says that.
Do they sell balls at Walmart?
She was the original AirPod snob.
So things were apparently so bad between the two that they had to film the last season of The Simple Life separately. The whole show was about them interacting together, so it was very dumb. No one watched. After Nicole, she gets with Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
All things were fine when Kim wasn't super famous and was organizing her closet. But then Keeping Up with the Kardashians comes out in 2007, and then Kim is popping,
mm-hmm.
and
you
Paris
sucked.
Is not.
See, what did I say? Success.
Right.
Okay, so once Nicole Richie was no longer just her friend, but she got some notoriety on television, once Kim was like, okay, I'm coming out of the closet, literally, and stepping into my fame, frenemies.
Yes. So a year after Keeping Up with the Kardashians came out, Paris went on the radio to say this about Kim.
I would not want Kim's butt. It's gross. It reminds me of cottage cheese inside a big trash bag.
Kim, how rude.
Yeah. Wow. Kim responded by saying Paris is just jealous because she doesn't have an ass.
Oh,
so,
well, I mean,
there's that.
Where is the lie, though?
I was going to say, we know who wins on brevity points.
Yeah. They've since made up for Instagram because they're always hanging out and Instagramming it to let everyone know. We're still friends.
But here's the thing. Did they make up? That is the epitome of a frenemy situation.
To your point, they are still frenemies because Paris still says things when asked about Kim, saying, it's nice to inspire people. which is kind of a way to remind everyone I'm the OG and she will always be my apprentice.
So basically, I made your career.
Yes.
Again, the jealousy shows up.
And now for Paris's ultimate frenemy in the form of attempted kidnapper, Lindsay Lohan. They were party friends in the early aughts and then things took a turn and the paparazzi caught it all on camera. The first clip we're going to hear is Lindsay Lohan coming out of a parking garage for whatever reason to explain what happened between her and Paris at a house party.
I'm literally grinning.
This is a video that Paris Hilton, and I'm saying this on tape. She hit me last night for no reason, apparently, at my friend's house, and I didn't know she'd be there, and she hit me, and she hit me with a drink and poured it all over me. And it hurts, and it's not okay.
It's not cool.
And I'm sorry for everyone that thinks I'm crazy. I'm sorry to hear that.
Wait, who was that shitster in the background?
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah, no, I'd have done the same. Yeah, shit.
I'm sorry if you think I'm crazy. I'm just trying to act. Okay. Sometime later, Lindsay was leaving a club and told paparazzi that Paris was a C word. And then 10 seconds later said, she didn't say that. Let's listen.
That's enough, man. That's
Paris
enough.
Is a
I'm sorry, Lindsay, what'd you say? Lindsay, Paris is the what?
I love Paris Hilton.
Lindsay, why is Paris a c-?
I never said that.
We got you saying a second ago.
Paris, tell them dirty gates in the
chamber. Paris is your friend.
Lindsay loves Paris.
Oh, I love her.
Girl, did you see the camera, girl? Did you see the camera?
Wow. The original purveyor of the cry of fake news.
Yeah. Cocaine will make you think and believe.
I didn't say that
things.
Thing you ooh, just allegedly heard me say.
Fast forward to last month.
What?
She's still alive.
Paris went on Andy Cohen's radio show to let the world know that the famous photo of Paris, Brittany, and Lindsay in a convertible was actually not all of them hanging out. She says, Lindsay party crashed.
She totally party crashed. Like, Brittany and I wanted to leave to go home.
Right.
You're and like then incoming. She started, like, chasing us.
Lindsay did.
Yes, yeah. And then squeezed in the car. It was literally a two-seater. And I didn't want to humiliate her in front of all the paparazzi and be like, get out of my car. So
right.
I was
you
like,
went
whatever.
Along with
just,
it.
Yes.
Then when you pulled away, did you, like, drop her off at the end of the driveway of the Beverly Hills Hotel or what? Basically?
We went back to my house and then Brittany and I just went to sleep and then I don't know, Lindsay probably went to another
party. Let herself out?
I don't know. There was no Uber back then, so she probably like called a cab. I have no idea.
Wow.
Just like one of those people that I just don't really trust and I only like to be around positive energy and good people.
Right. She was too much drama for you.
Mm.
Yes.
Good vibes only.
Can we just, wow. I'm going to refer to Paris as Elsa from now on because she's clearly an ice queen.
Right. I want a ringtone of her in her creepy Gollum baby voice saying, good vibes only. So that is a little frolic through all of Paris Hilton's frenemy situations. Thanks for listening.
Wow. Well, I think if we learned anything in this segment, we've learned that you only have a frenemy if you're successful. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the positive from this, right? You got a frenemy, pat yourself on the back. That means you're doing something great. That means you gained at least a modicum of success. Mm-hmm. And who else to counsel us on how to handle success than Queen Oprah herself?
They're going to say, you know what they're going to say. They're going to say, who she thinks she is. Who she thinks she is. That only happens when you are around people who do not mean and want and aspire to the best for you. People who want the best for you want you to be your best. So my greatest advice to you is to surround yourself with people who are going to fill your cup until your cup runneth over. So when people say you're so full of yourself, you can say, yeah.
Yeah.
What exactly. kind of sermon was that?
Okay,
I'm just going to say it. Greatest orator of the 21st century and the 20th for that matter.
Yeah. So if you got a frenemy or two, pat yourself on the back because clearly you're doing something right.
Folks, I'm assuming that you have watched at least one of the competing Fyre Festival documentaries. You're men and women of the world.
It's on my list.
Jamidra.
It's on my list, but I have not seen the documentary, but I've read a ton about it.
There are two. Bad news. Like, yeah. Your workload just increased by 100%. Emmanuel, from the way you are nodding, it implies that you have seen both.
I've seen 1.6 because the Netflix one is so bad that I have to just pause it.
Really?
And not return.
I will myself admit that I made it all the way through the Hulu documentary. My eyebrows were right around the back of my head. And I made it halfway through the Netflix documentary.
It's just not good.
We should point out the Netflix documentary about the Fyre Festival, which for those of you who aren't aware, is about the gigantor scam that a young man called Billy McFarland enacted when he invited, nay, persuaded, a bunch of very rich people to buy tickets for a music festival in the Bahamas that kind of didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so these competing documentaries on Hulu and Netflix came out. But the Netflix one, I know this has been pointed out, it is made by the marketing company. Fuck Jerry. That's a real thing.
Oh, wow.
It's made by those guys.
And the Hulu one paid the scammer $150,000 to appear on the documentary about the scamming.
Still scamming!
So he scammed them, and they're scamming us.
Basically, both of these are problematic.
Well, Jamidra, for you, since you haven't seen all of them, and for the listeners at home who haven't seen them, here's a little taste of the trailer for the Netflix documentary, just to give you an idea.
American rapper Ja Rule is in the Bahamas with his business partner.
Billy McFarland
is an amazing entrepreneur.
He can convince anyone of pretty much anything.
They just bought an island.
Pablo Escobar's island. Oh my gosh.
Ding! We're gonna throw a festival, yeah.
Within 48 hours,
they sold out. These guys are either completely full of shit or they're the smartest guys in the room.
So here's the thing. I knew some mess, BS, but in particular was afoot. When they said Ja Rule was involved, yeah. I was like,
I mean, spoiler alert, they are full of shit. They are not the smartest guys in the room. Regardless of the ethics behind the makings of these documentaries, the story is wild. And I can't remember the last time there was like this televisual event that people were so obsessed with. Actually, I can. It was Lemonade. It was Beyoncé's Lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
You had, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Beyoncé and Billy, they're the same.
But like literally, I felt like everyone was watching this. Everyone on my Twitter feed was talking about it. And boiling it down, I think that the appeal is rich people getting scammed.
Mm.
Who doesn't love a good scam? Especially when the target is a very rich person.
Yeah, it's modern day Robin Hood, if you will. Yes.
Until you look at the finer details and realize all those rich kids were scammed with the music festival. But so were all of the workers in the Bahamas who were trying to get it all set up. They were never paid.
Very true. And there's this kind of idea of the scam as this victimless crime. Right. And there is always a victim. But isn't it more fun just to look at the rich people and not look at the people minimum wage who had their livelihoods taken away? I would argue so, because everyone wants to focus on the rich folks.
Yeah, I got
to
be honest. I was TTEing about those cheese sandwiches on the
Excuse you, luxury cheese sandwiches.
Oh, God.
But then you start to uncover the stories, like you said, about the people who weren't paid, who were victims of this festival, who were not rich folks. I mean, if you dropped a couple thousand on your black card for this unbelievable festival,
they are fine. Like, no one was spending their life savings to go to that festival.
You'll be fine.
Or that was like chump change for those guys. But the appeal of the scam, we are obsessed very clearly. The idea of like tricksters and hucksters, this is as old as time. And religion is full of them. Myth is full of them. Loki, Anansi, Rumpelstiltskin, the devil. All iconic
tricksters.
Scammers.
Yes.
Tricksters, hucksters. I even went deep down the internet rabbit hole and discovered there is a 19th century equivalent of Fyre Festival where this Scottish dude called, and I'm not making this up, Gregor MacGregor. He might as well have just like faked it Scottish McScottish. He told a bunch of British people he'd just come back from South America and discovered this really cool region that was full of gold mines and had this amazing capital city. He was like, just buy a ticket and get on my ship and everything will be good. They did. They paid him a bunch of money. They all went there, got dumped in some swamp, and then people died.
Whoa.
And they also were expecting Diplo to spin and Kanye to
they
be there.
They thought it was Blink 182.
Yeah.
No. And so do we maybe look at these scammers as like anarchists? Like, is it kind of like a wish fulfillment? Like, huh, yeah, go and take what you can get, especially if it's from the rich in rough times.
I think it's something appealing about it, right? I think about our obsession with, it's not so much as a scam, but like we love sort of like 007, like covert movies. And we're just like, oh, the idea that somebody could pull off something like that in real life, it's just like, ooh, like, yes.
Steal that jewel.
Steal that jewel.
Yeah.
particularly if it has to do, like you said, if it's a victimless crime. A rich person loses a couple million. Oh, we'll be all right.
But with that wish fulfillment thing, what if instead of feeling imposter syndrome, like we all feel, you owned your imposter syndrome and that makes you the scammer?
Hmm. I like this.
Let's embrace the imposter syndrome.
Scam your way into a VP position.
I can be who I want to be. I have a story about that.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I'm not going to get too specific because I don't want people looking at my LinkedIn profile.
I was going to say, wait, this is a movie with Jennifer Lopez that just came out. I've seen the trailer for this.
But recently I found out that someone that I worked with that I thought was really talented, that I like really looked up to and loved years ago, I caught up with somebody I used to work with at the same company, and they told me that particular person did not have the credentials that they said that they did.
Oh.
And basically scammed their way into the company and scammed their way into a leadership position. And then when things shifted and some audits had to happen, that's when it was revealed that this person had scammed everybody into believing that they were qualified for their job.
Oh.
I was shocked.
But you can do that now. As the Hulu documentary about the Fyre Festival, like, belabors the point way too much. They're like, it was social media that did it. But it's kind of true. Like, mm-hmm. You can basically convey anything about yourself. You can tune your face with apps. You can make your life look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And no one's really going to fact check it. Like, the fact checking capabilities of Instagram do not exist. Yeah. All smoke and mirrors.
Citations needed.
If I write down I have that degree, therefore I have that degree. Mm-hmm. Who's going to check?
How are you to say that I'm not a Nigerian prince who's emailing you? Maybe I am.
I'm in a bit of a pickle. I just need a little bit of help.
Let's talk iconic scammers, guys. Again, with no hint of admiration for these people.
I don't know, because I got a hint of admiration for mine.
Ooh.
And you already know who I'm going to talk about, because I think we've talked about her before. Anna Delvey.
Anna.
She's mine too.
Are you? Okay, because she's legend.
She's iconic.
She is legend.
Oh my, okay. So for the listeners, if you have not heard of Anna Delvey, there is this iconic profile of her in New York Magazine from last year, 2018. Go and look it up. She is a Russian-German woman who decided that she wanted to be something she was not and lived on credit for a frighteningly mm-hmm. long time.
Not just credit. She got loans after loans after loans after loans. She got put
in
up in
New
hotels.
York.
People, she just looked like she was rich and they went along with it. She carried herself with confidence and they
bought
in. Dress
for the job you want.
Exactly.
She told one of her friends, hey, I think we should go to the Venice Biennale. You buy the tickets, I'll get you back. So she went to Venice, never paid him back. She was friends with Macaulay Culkin. Like, he is very much in that article, which, by the way, if you don't like reading.
Who does? Who does these days?
Shonda Rhimes is adapting it into a movie or a series or something.
And guess who's going to be there? Watching.
Me and you. And
thank you.
May I say that there's also going to be another competing adaptation mm-hmm. of Anna Delvey's tale, A La Fyre Festival.
Hulu and Netflix.
Them's are the rules now. You need two competing things.
So I think one should have Jennifer Lawrence be Anna Delvey mm-hmm. and the other one is Margot Robbie. Let's see what happens.
Oh, I'm
interesting.
Into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, it is kind of fun, not only if a scammer does it well, but if they don't do it well. Like, it is fun when the con artist is no artist at all. Like, if Billy McFarland, the Fyre Festival guy, had been a true scam artist, he wouldn't have been anywhere near that island when the rich people have arrived. Like, he would have been off the island. As it was, he was standing on a folding table taking questions, mm-hmm. which is not the mark of a high-class scam artist.
All right, Gilligan. He should have got off the island quickly and paddled his way out. Yeah.
There's the old adage of you are who you're friends with. Guess who was friends with our girl, Anna Delvey?
Ja Rule.
No. Close, though. Billy.
Really?
No.
Get this. She scammed Billy.
Wait. Are you kidding me?
Here's a receipt.
That's true evidence that Billy is not a scammer because he got scammed.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Anna is the queen, and he is a mighty jester. So she needed a place to stay. She's always, like, going from couch to couch and hotel to hotel. And so she stayed in his headquarters for his fake credit card Magnesis headquarters.
Magnesis, spelled like penises.
Yes. For 4 months without paying rent.
No.
And he couldn't get her to leave. And the only way they got her to leave is they moved their headquarters. She also...
I'm just saying, let's just take a moment and step back and admire that.
Right.
When you are so boss that you plop down on somebody else's couch and the only way they can shake you is for them to relocate.
Just burn the whole thing down.
You know what that is? A flex. She also knew pharma bro Martin Shkreli.
Shkreli?
Who is famous for raising the price on a drug by 5,000%. He's now in prison.
He's gross.
But they also ran in the same circle. So she and all the other scammers knew each other.
They're magnetized.
Yeah.
Just to cap this conversation off, we have to talk about when scams are not fun. When the laughter stops, when that joke isn't funny anymore.
Looking at you, financial crisis.
Right? It's not funny when it's the rich robbing the poor. As a coworker of mine just said to me, you grift up. You don't grift down, you grift up. And that's a tattoo in the making, or at least a mug. Anytime that scamming becomes cruel, like catfishing, I find, like online, like that's particularly cruel. Facebook is starting to feel like one big scam.
Mm-hmm. I have opinions. Them inflating the video counts and then making all these media companies pivot to video when it was all a lie. And then what are the writers doing now? They're laid off.
Right.
So we can't ask.
We see you, girl. We see you, girl.
Scam.
Right. In short, like, I think we're going to keep being fascinated by scams. But what if we get scammed?
It's happened. I'll live.
It's the big and the pick.
Hey, the big and the pick. Hey.
And now for the highs and lows of pop culture this week. I have quite a bit on the agenda because people are pissing me off and also getting my attention. So let's just begin.
Take us on this roller coaster, if you will.
Buckle up. So a few months ago, I gave out a pit to this dude who had a gender reveal party and started a huge wildfire in Arizona.
Yeah.
It cost $8 million to like figure it all out. And he's an idiot and he's, I think, in jail and had to pay back a bunch of money.
But it does give rise to the meme of whenever anything blows up, someone on Twitter will comment with, these gender reveal parties are getting out of control, which I think is the best thing in the world.
So it did give us that.
It did.
But people are still not learning their lesson. Just as bad as that story is the following. Recently, a couple decided to reveal the sex of their baby by cutting into a tray of lasagna, pulling out a piece to reveal.
What was the piece?
Colored cheeses and pasta.
Oh.
Okay, well, at least it,
happened to be blue.
I was going to say, what are they pulling out of lasagna? I'm glad it was colorful pasta.
Well, I'm not glad. Not on my watch. Gender is a construct. Get over it, people. I hate this.
First of all, who's eating blue lasagna, though? Let's stop there.
Idiots.
Don't ruin a wonderful meal with food coloring.
This has layers, literally.
Very good.
Thanks.
Very good.
Next up. I'm not going to give this a peek or a pit because I don't want to judge other people's parenting decisions.
Okay. Well, I'm a parent, so I'll do it. We do it all the time.
Okay.
It's just like a Rorschach test.
I will say this, though. We all need to have Anne Hathaway in our prayers and thoughts.
Oh,
what's she done?
Because she has decided that, in honor of her baby son, she will abstain from drinking alcohol for 18 years.
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute, girl. What?
Good luck, sis.
Wait.
You're gonna need it.
You come holler at me when that baby turns two, and then you tell me if you're not gonna pick up a bottle of wine. Girl, I will buy her a wine club membership today. And give me your address, girl.
Wait, so is she currently pregnant, had a baby? Like, I'm unsure of the status of Anne Hathaway right now.
The baby exists. She said she drove said baby to daycare while hungover, and she said, never again. It's not fair to him. 18 years sober.
Oh,
okay,
come
no. So that's in the heat of the moment, girl. Call me in a couple years.
Listen, it's been medically proven that hangovers give you anxiety. So she's just in a little anxiety pit from the hangover.
Hmm. Now, on a darker note, but I feel like I have to say something about this because it's bullshit. Jussie Smollett of Empire was attacked in Chicago by people wearing MAGA gear. And they were also wearing ski masks. So it seems like this whole thing was planned in some way. They threw homophobic and racist slurs at him, threw bleach on him, and put a noose around his neck. And media companies are dealing with this incident by tiptoeing around possibly a hate crime, maybe racially inspired.
Potentially homophobic.
Yeah. Hmm. And I feel like we are past this both sides nonsense
at this point. When was the last time we heard about a group of men in hoods attacking a person? I'm just saying, it sounds
funny,
a little familiar. Yeah. Okay.
Something else that's not funny is that Kevin Hart joke about, I'm going to throw a TV on my son if he was gay
or
something.
You mean the one that got him in hot water with the Oscars?
Right. Yeah. It's like, this is why we didn't find that funny. These are the repercussions of that kind of language. It normalizes the behavior and allows these things to happen. And as I said on the show, just last year in San Francisco, someone tried to run me off the road and then yelled gay slurs at me and almost punched me in the street. This stuff happens to LGBT people, people of color, all kinds of minorities. So I'm sick of these media companies not calling things what they are. Pit of the week to media companies, except the one we work at.
Yeah, obviously. Duh.
And now to a peak, because we need to just let that all
we need it.
In the past. We should be aware of it.
But we need to look at it in the face, call it by its actual name,
And then self-care.
So want to know what this week's peak is?
Do tell.
Here's a hint.
Are you trying to tell me the Unsolved Mysteries is coming back?
Yes!
What?
I was going to say, the way that you guys were grooving and moving in front of me, but I was like, I felt like I'd arrived late to a party.
Oh, Carly, this is when you're going to learn that maybe you can solve a mystery.
Maybe you have information.
Yes.
I've heard about the show from you guys. Yeah. I've just never seen it.
Well, now you're about to. Apparently, they're going to have 12 episodes.
Netflix?
They're going to each focus.
Always.
It is Netflix.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And little girls. Like at this stage, I am a Netflix original.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously.
We've talked about revival fatigue on this show, but this Redux gets my stamp of approval because think about how obsessed we are with crime podcasts right now. Everyone's trying to solve it. You know, internet sleuths were trying to figure out, did Adnan do it? Mm-hmm. Could he have gotten there in time? It was Jay. It was Jay the whole time.
Ugh, speaking of, my husband just listened to that Serial season one.
For the first
month,
time?
For the first time.
Does he think Jay did it?
He's all geared up to talk about this. And honey, I'm fogging on the details. So now I got to rush out.
Oh my God, he's like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh no, don't say that.
What was the thing where she's like, is everyone watching this? And everyone's like, yeah. Literally everyone's watching this.
We watched that years ago, girl.
So if we use that energy of like, trying to be our own detectives on the internet, which we're always doing, and applied it to these 12 mysteries they're going to present to us on Netflix, we're going to solve this stuff. It's a done deal.
Done.
These families who have been looking for answers forever are going to get them. And I love that. And if nothing else, we can scar a whole new generation with that theme music. So watch out, Jameter's kids. Watch out, Gen Z. We're coming for you.
Three conditions. That theme song has to be in on the new series, the reboot.
Okay.
Whoever the host is needs to wear a trench coat.
Okay.
And there has to be a smog machine.
Great.
Done.
I will send over those list of demands to the creators right after this.
This is like the bat signal for the neckbeards of Reddit.
So now for the song of the week. We are 1 month down in 2019.
Thank God.
It's already been hard to keep our resolutions. Jameter, how's your resolution going of learning Spanish?
I was going to say, I don't remember what it is. So maybe you can remind me.
Well, there you go.
You could have just said muy bien. You could have said it.
I'm doing a little better than you because I've been watching Drag Race and there is a drag queen I love on there. Her name's Valentina. She taught me.
She's back.
Oh, yes. On All Stars. And she taught me the following phrase that you could use on a frenemy. It means, how dare you, damned one. Como te atreves, maldita.
Oh, and if you just whisper in that ASMR voice, then it just puts an extra little.
Yeah, a little tingle on their spine.
Sounds like a cool curse.
So you could either watch Valentina on Drag Race or you could bump one of the best albums of 2018, El Mal Querer by Rosalia. She shares a birthday with me, and guess what? Her canciones have a lot of pasión in them, and they will make you want to bailar or llorar. That means cry. Oh. So either way, you're going to feel something.
Finally. Once in my life.
You don't have to understand the words to know it's fire, and it'll help your brain get used to the idea of being bilingual. So without further ado, here's Malamente by Rosalia. Malamente.
Listeners, you love us, right? If you do, there's a really good way to show it, and it's go onto iTunes and leave us a review. We read every single one, and they make us really happy.
This episode was edited by me, Emmanuel Hapsis, with help from Ashley Ann Craigbaum.
And special thanks to David Marcus and Carolyn Pennypacker-Riggs.
If you miss us in the next week, find us on social media. I'm Excuse My Beauty.
I'm at Teacup in the Bay.
And I'm Jameter Says.
Bye. Bye. Me se mueve y tambalea malamente. Así sí.
Malamente. Good vibes only.